Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
You may not give much thought to your insurance until you need it. Well, we want you to start thinking about insurance. Insurance for holiday gifts, engagement rings, rental cars you may be driving this fall season, and so on. My guests are Sue Nestor. She's a spokesperson for the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and Mike McCartan, who's with Joseph W. McCartan Insurance. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, there's a lot of stuff that I learned just talking to you before we started the program, and I'm kind of surprised on a little bit of the things. But let's start talking about what happens to people during the holidays, because they're going to be buying expensive appliances, they're going to be buying gifts, lots of things. And I know that in the past you all have done. I know, Sue, particularly your organization, you do a lot of consumer education. What are some of the things you recommend to people when they're starting to think about buying gifts? Is there some framework with which you'd put those gifts that they should start thinking about buying extra insurance and so on?
You need to just keep insurance on the radar. It's not something most people really want to think about during the holidays, but it's important. And particularly if you are going to be buying jewelry as a gift, especially like maybe an engagement ring or something like that, or antiques, fine art, collectibles. There are limits on your homeowner's policy for those types of specialty items, and you'll want to talk to your agent and find out what your limits are and if some extra coverage in that area may be necessary. And it's not that expensive to get for a good amount of coverage for those specialty items.
And this doesn't necessarily have to be insurance that's for long term. Let's suppose you're giving your, well, let's carry that a step farther. Suppose you have a college age kid who's off in school. All right, you want to give he or she a expensive piece of electronic equipment. And of course, it's going to be in a dorm room. What do you need to think about?
You need to think about a couple of things. Chances are electronic equipment, that's going to be covered under your homeowner's policy. And a dorm is considered a temporary extension of your home. So chances are you're going to be covered in that situation. Where you really want to be careful is if the student is living in off-campus housing and has had to sign a lease. At that point, a renter's insurance policy is probably an important item. It's very inexpensive. And if you or your child's name is on this lease, then you'll probably need separate coverage and you want to look into that.
So the very fact that they've established a separate residence from the campus, what's provided by the school, means that they go into a different category in terms of their parents' homeowners insurance.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the other good thing about the renter's policy is you do get some liability protection with that policy too, which is a great thing when you think about college students' lifestyle
and parties.
And doors unlocked and people not being quite as careful as they should. So it's a good thing to think about. Like you say, particularly if you're sending them back to school second semester with some expensive electronics and computers and new gifts. Absolutely.
Right.
What's in a college student's room nowadays is a lot different than what it was even just 10 and 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So you really want to think about that.
What do you all see in terms of our parents coming in and buying this kind of insurance for their kids? And do you all put out advisories on things like this? You know, parents may not even think about it, especially about the point that Sue made, that if it's off campus, if it's in a rental apartment, they may just think their homeowner's insurance still covers it.
We typically get a lot of calls in August when kids are getting ready to go out of school. So we have that discussion then. We send out a newsletter usually sometime in late summer that will address this issue and encourage people to call. What we're seeing more of is that your kids are signing an annualized lease or sometimes even longer. And that's where you sort of get into the issue that Sue just mentioned, that you do need a renter's or a tenant's policy. And many landlords actually require, before you're allowed to move in, that you do purchase this coverage. And it's something that we can help with. You know, you should go to your independent agent who's written your home and auto, and they should be able to provide this, or at least if your child's in a state that they're not licensed in, they can give you directions as to who to purchase it from.
And how much you need. I mean, you're talking about what? couple hundred dollars?
A couple hundred dollars. I mean, yeah, probably between $150 and $250. I mean, you should, I think you should probably buy $10,000 to $20,000 of coverage. Mm-hmm. I was actually at my daughter's college this weekend. I mean, you know, you got TVs and laptops and radios. I mean, it adds up quickly what these kids have in these places.
Oh,
and plus, if there was a part of the discussion we had this weekend is one of the kids there, their sister's place had burned. So if you start adding in the clothes and all the electronics in the event, God forbid, of a fire, then it's really going to add up. And I don't think it would take long to spend $20,000 or $25,000 on these kids' clothes to get them back to where they were.
I hope no one was injured.
No, everybody got out of the house, but it was a significant loss, and a lot of personal items were gone.
Yes. Yes.
People make a mistake, too, when they think, well, my landlord has insurance. Well, that may be true, but the landlord's insurance is going to cover the structure, the walls, the physical building. That's what the landlord is responsible for. Anything inside, contents, anything that you bring in, you're responsible for that. And the landlord's insurance policy is not going to cover those things. And obviously, those are the things that are most important to you.
Of course. That's an excellent point. So you really have to get out. So what do you call this? A renter's policy, Mike? Is there a name for it?
It's a renter's policy. Yes.
Check the limits. If your kid likes to throw a lot of parties, you want to make sure that that's covered?
Well, all renter's policies will include personal liability. So I would encourage you to buy the same liability limit that you have on your own policy. Mm-hmm. And you could also ask your agent if they would list, if you have an umbrella or a personal catastrophe policy, you may want to see if they'll allow that policy to be written onto that policy in addition to give you an additional layer of protection. Because the chances are your name is on that lease too. So it's probably not just your child. Yeah. It's probably your name. So you've got some additional liability and you would want your umbrella to step down and protect you there too.
So if the parent's name is on the lease, which as you say, it most likely is, then that opens up a whole host of other issues, doesn't it? So you become vulnerable to whatever is done in that apartment.
Absolutely. And at that point, the policy should be written in your name and your child's name. And you should have the discussion about seeing if that policy can be added to your umbrella policy.
That's really, really good advice. And just talk to your agent. I mean, that's the way to get answers to all of this. I like the fact that you all send out a newsletter to your clients.
We try and do that every summer so people get a little heads up on that. And then it at least, you know, some basic facts and it gets the discussion going. Mm-hmm. But this needs to be taken care of, you know, before you sign the lease and before somebody moves into an off-premises.
Well, it's attractive to me because it's very inexpensive and yet it can provide so much protection for your child, well, for yourself as well, but your child and their possessions so that it's makes sense. Now, what if there's more? Let me take a break here and then I'll come back and ask this question just to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Mike McCartan with Joseph W. McCartan Insurance and Sue Nestor, spokesperson for Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America. Now, suppose there's more than one person living in the apartment, which is quite likely. How do you cover this in terms of insurance? Does each individual have to have insurance, or how does that work?
These
people are not related, not married. I mean, they're just roommates.
What I would suggest is that everybody get their own policy. I think that what you see more and more, and I won't make a blanket statement, but most places require each individual to sign an individual lease. So they're really renting you a room in a larger dwelling. So in most cases, it's going to be the lease is going to be in your name for an individual room. So at that point, you should have your own policy. I think if you do get in a situation where everybody's on there, I think it's going to be a lot harder to find somebody to write a policy for four or three unrelated individuals.
So you're saying then when someone is looking at renting an apartment with college friends, the way that rental agreement is structured is what's critical. And you would advise then that each person have a separate lease. But if it's got a living room in common areas, how do you do that?
Well, I think that would be addressed in the lease, but the address of the lease will be the address of the house. So that covers that's going to cover the room and whatever you have throughout the house. It won't matter where your personal property is. But it just, it protects you as the individual or individuals named on that lease, you and your parents named on that lease. And I would encourage that. And I would tell you that most of what I've seen from friends, and I just signed a lease again for my daughter, and it was for, we signed the lease. The other three or four people in the house had their own lease.
Did you get insurance, Mike?
Absolutely.
I would just say, too, I mean, it's going to differ with landlords and with insurance companies and stuff like that, but always just a phone call to your agent just to ask the question and get some information up front is always just a good idea. It takes 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It takes any doubt out of the situation, and it's a lot easier to have that information up front and understand what you're going into than try to figure it out later when you don't have the right coverage. So
that's
it's always just good to keep it on the radar.
Now, Sue, I know that your organization does a lot of consumer education. Do you have information about these subjects up at your website?
TrustedChoice.com is a great resource for consumers. We have all kinds of just frequently asked questions on homeowners, renters, car insurance, life insurance, mm-hmm. but we also have seasonal things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, topics that come up with either a storm or holidays or issues like that, going back to school, there'll always be good resources
there
for consumers.
Right. Do you all provide anything on your website, Mike?
We provide a link to TrustedToys.com. We do have information.
And you support them and work with them. I know that, right?
Absolutely.
Are you chairman of their board now?
I am not chairman of the board. I am a national director for the Independent Agents and Brokers.
Okay. All right. And TrustedChoice.com, you can get lots of information on all kinds of things about insurance.
It's a great resource, and there's an agent locator on there as well. So you can type in your zip code and find a Trusted Choice agent near you mm-hmm. who can help you with all of these sorts of questions.
Okay. All righty. Well, now, let's just cover one more thing about gifts, and that is, suppose someone is getting engaged during the holiday season, and typically many of these engagement rings are very expensive. Who takes out insurance on it, Mike? I mean, who would be responsible? Because you sure don't want to lose a diamond ring. And it is, or it could be a combination of stones, but it could be very expensive, and they're little, it would be easy to lose them.
It can be very expensive, and coverage, as we mentioned earlier, is typically limited between maybe $500 and $3,000 in a standard homeowner's policy. So the person that purchased the ring is responsible for it until they give the ring away. Let's say you give it away, you know, you ask to get married or get engaged on Christmas Day. At that point, it your fiance would be responsible to the ring until you're married. So you would need to have coverage for it on your homeowner's or renter's policy. Delete it at holiday time or whenever you give the ring, and then your fiance needs to add it to their homeowner's or renter's mm-hmm. policy until you get married.
Okay. And that's a special rider. So you've got to make special notation with your insurance company and probably have something to indicate the value of the ring.
They'll ask for an appraisal. So most people get an appraisal when they purchase the ring. So you'll have an appraisal. You'll give that if it's above a certain amount of money. You'll provide that to your independent agent. They'll mm-hmm. add it to the policy. It's a very nominal charge. Mm-hmm. And that'll take care of it. And you'll have the additional coverage you need.
You know, I think this is the thing that I've learned from talking to you all over the years, because you've provided us with a lot of good consumer information, but that many of these things that you can add on to your insurance, but they're very inexpensive and so well worth the investment of money to protect your assets.
Absolutely. I was surprised, actually, when I first got into the business, when I started adding a few things onto my own policy, how reasonable some of this coverage is. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that at the time of the engagement, the ring goes on to the person who got the ring's policy. At that time, when you're talking to your agent about insuring the ring, is a great time to talk to your agent about other things too. You've got expensive wedding presents that are probably going to be coming your way, and you might want to ask about other specialty coverages that you may need coming up, and take care of that all at once. And like you say, it's not that expensive, and the level of coverage that you can get is really great. So we recommend that's a good time to sit down with your agent and go over some of these other types of insurance mm-hmm. questions mm-hmm. as well.
Now, I know that, you know, let's go to the broader subject of rental insurance. And I know you all have done studies and found that an awful lot of people do not have renter's insurance.
Correct. About two-thirds of renters
do not have
coverage.
Wow.
Right.
And it's very inexpensive. And most or all companies offer a discount on the renter's policy for having your auto and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So there is many cases where we'll be reviewing policies in our agency, and I'll look at the premium they're paying for their auto and say, get them a renter's, it'll be free. Because of the discount on the auto insurance. I mean, we live in a metropolitan area where auto insurance is more expensive. So you factor in a 10% discount on your auto, and you're going to get somewhere between, you know, 50%.
You'll save money.
You'll save significant money. In a lot of cases, you're going to get a renter's policy that's near free.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense because, as Sue, I think, said earlier, people are under the mistaken impression that their landlord has insurance. Well, the landlord has insurance on the building.
Right.
But not on you or your property.
Correct.
So if it burns or whatever. Did you find out about where your daughter's friend, where her building burned? Did anybody there have insurance? Do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. Well, let's hope that they did.
Too often they don't.
I know. Let's take a brief pause here to let everyone know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Sue Nestor, spokesperson for the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and Mike McCartan with J.W. McCartan Insurance. Thank you, guys. This is really interesting. Now, I want to talk about a subject that I just learned a lot from talking to you all before we went on the air. And that was talking about driving during the holidays. Now, not specifically driving, but let's suppose that you're driving to another country. Let's suppose you're driving up to Canada to go skiing. And that's quite possible. I mean, people drive from here to Canada all the time. Let's start out first with the premise of you're driving your own car. What do you need to know? You all told me that there's something you need to do before you go outside the country if you go to either Canada or Mexico.
Well, Mac, if you travel in your own vehicle in Mexico, you're going to need to purchase insurance before you either cross over or just as you cross over.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, they require that you have, we call it an insurance card. It's basically just proof of insurance. So you would call your independent agent before you go to Canada. We fill out a quick little card and you take it with you as you travel north of the border, and it provides you. You already would have the protection, but it provides you the paperwork you need either to enter the country or the event you were stopped there.
So actually, even though you have insurance and you may have your own insurance card, it would be an additional, it would be necessary to have something to identify you to Canadian authorities.
Yes.
And that's not any charge to get that from your insurance company?
Oh, there's no charge for it. It's just, you have to take the time to, mm-hmm. if you think ahead of time, we'll mail it to you. So there's no real inconvenience to you.
Sure.
If you wait to the last second, then we got to figure out how to get it to you very quickly.
But Mexico is another animal. You need to get insurance.
Correct.
Specifically insurance there. Now, let's suppose we're driving a rental car. What do we need? Now, Sue, you all had said that you had your position at your agency or your association had kind of changed over the years about collision damage waiver.
Correct. And typically, when you're driving a rental car, you're carrying your car coverage with you, and you're covered. So if you've got good comprehensive and collision coverage on your own vehicle when you rent a car, you're covered. We are recommending now that people purchase a collision damage waiver, though, and that is mostly because something called loss of use comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you damage one of the rental cars from the fleet, and that car is out of service for, let's say, 60 days or something, mm-hmm. while they're repairing it, you don't want to be charged a rental fee for that. So that this can help cover you in those types of circumstances. And we have seen more and more of these types of issues crop up. So we are recommending that you purchase the collision damage waiver. Otherwise, for everything else, just to mostly cover that loss of use provision. But for everything else, if you've got good auto insurance coverage, then you're covered
okay
in the rental car as well.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I guess the collision damage waiver, but that adds an awful lot of money to your rental policy.
It's not cheap. And
you
buy it at the rental counter when you rent the car. And, you know, it's not inexpensive. But we do feel that we need to recommend that now because that might be one area
where people could suffer a significant loss.
True.
I guess you have to also look at it. Can you afford to self-insure?
Correct.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's
and again,
another thing.
A quick call to your agent before you take the trip to talk about some of these things, mm-hmm. and what your own individual policy, mm-hmm. covers is probably 5 minutes well spent.
Right. Now, what do you advise people Mike, in terms of, well, not necessarily collision damage waiver, but in terms of checking their insurance policy before they go off on a driving vacation?
Well, we would always encourage you to have a discussion with your agent. And, you know, I agree with Sue. There is the possibility that you could suffer a loss of use loss. And the other thing I would recommend is that take the time when you get there to do a walk around the car and make sure you mark everything down. Because as we discussed before, you've seen an uptick in where people are complaining about damages being assigned to them that may or may not have been theirs. And I can tell you that we've seen a lot more claims where people claim that that wasn't their that it wasn't their responsibility. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once you sign the lease for that car, every damage on that you haven't identified is yours. So I take the extra time.
There's a little schematic on most insurance, most rental policies, where you have a little picture of a car and you need to make notations. Mm-hmm. Every tiny little ding. And, you know, but that's one of the problems if you're renting a car at night or if you're renting it and it's wet. You can't see all of this stuff.
And think about it. I mean, I always traveled with my family. And by the time you get to that point where you're renting the car, you've just gotten off
you're
the airplane.
Tired.
Everybody's exhausted.
Exactly.
Kids are crying. You just want to get in and go. And you don't take the time to do it. And you really should. It's a big mistake.
It is. It is. Some companies will walk you around. Others just give you the car and you go. But we have found that there is one particular company that our complaints about them trying to assess damage to consumers, and the very thing we're talking about, is about four times the rate of other companies. So you do need to be careful, and that's not to say that any company couldn't come back and say to you, you damaged this vehicle. So you may not be able to see all the big stuff at night or in the rain, but I mean the little stuff, but you can certainly see the big stuff.
And just take the time. It's a five-minute exercise.
You know, it probably would be a good idea to take a flashlight and look at the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm being a little extreme, but why not?
Why not? Especially a lot of people have a flashlight app on their
smartphone.
Sure. Go ahead and use that. And it's time well spent. Mm-hmm. You don't want a surprise, an unpleasant surprise at the end of your trip when you bring that car back.
Oh, no. No. That's that can be a very expensive surprise. So any last minute, we've only got a minute or so here. Information for consumers on insurance. The biggest thing, I guess, is to sit down and keep a file of what insurance you have, what your coverages are, right? That would be one thing.
Keep a file and don't hesitate to pick up the phone and ask the question. There's no bad mm-hmm. questions.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when people call and ask questions because that way we can address it on the front end. You can make an educated decision as to, you know, you're going to insure, you're going to self-insure, but ask on the front end as opposed to once something has happened, and at that point, it's too late.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and you are a good educator, Mike. I've learned this about you.
Well, thank you. we try. Thank you.
What about you, Sue?
You know, I think the same thing. You know, ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure for sure, and that certainly applies with insurance. I think anytime you have a change in your life, that's sort of just a bellwether. Mark, make a call to your insurance. You know, you've sent a kid off to school, you've gotten a new car, mm-hmm. you've gotten a new job, you've something about your home has changed, you've remodeled, and you've made a major purchase. Anytime you make a big change in your life, think about the insurance implications.
Well, if you're sending your kid off to college and he or she's no longer driving your family vehicle, that may change the insurance rate on that vehicle.
Absolutely.
If you buy your kid a car, that could change that lower the insurance rate on your family vehicle.
It could. If you've got a car that's no longer being used 9 months a year because you've got mm-hmm. a kid away at school, let your insurance agent know that you may be able to save substantially with that.
We like to save money. Well, thank you both for being with us. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests have been Sue Nestor, spokesperson for the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and Mike McCartan with McCartan Insurance. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.